This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. Many religious leaders in Massachusetts say a new part of their mission is to deal with those caught in the opioid epidemic, with millions of people struggling with drugs and alcohol and the overdose death rate skyrocketing. Church leaders are stepping in to help. They're giving sermons, leading retreats, and some are helping with sober housing. WBUR's Deborah Becker this morning introduces us to some of them.
God bless you all.
Hundreds of people crowded into the Belmont Watertown United Methodist Church on a recent Saturday night to mark the anniversary of a local Narcotics Anonymous, or NA, group. It was standing room only, and the sanctuary erupted into rousing applause for the church's pastor, Reverend Mike Clark. He started working at this church 15 years ago. One of the first things he noticed was all the people entering the church, not for Sunday services, but for 12-step meetings in the basement.
I realized that people's lives were being saved every day in this building, and that it was happening in the basement. It was happening outside our angle of vision, and that's fine. It was happening anonymously, but that it was an amazing story of human transformation.
And Clark says it's time for all churches to blend what happens in their basements with what happens in their sanctuaries.
In my experience, there's many active alcoholics and addicts upstairs in churches, as there are recovering alcoholics and addicts downstairs. We've approached it here as not only trying to offer support to folks in the congregation, but also trying to find some appropriate ways for two very separate communities historically to say, actually, we have some things in common.
At Clark's church, there are almost two dozen meetings based on the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous every week. Although he has no background in substance use disorders, Clark estimates that he's held about 1,500 counseling sessions with people in recovery. John, who didn't want his last name used because of the AA requirement that participants stay anonymous, is one of the regulars in the church basement who goes upstairs to see Clark.
So he's probably become our honorary addict, and he's never... Never mind the other drugs. He hasn't even had a drink in his life, this guy. But he has a connection with us.
Many other churches are looking for that connection, too. The Massachusetts Council of Churches, a group of 17 Christian denominations, has held about a dozen trainings for clergy over the past year. Reverend Laura Everett is the council's executive director.
We are overwhelmed by the demand of spiritual caregivers, interfaith colleagues who are reaching out to us to provide more training sessions. We really think that clergy can model a supportive, pastorally appropriate, non-judgmental way of speaking about addiction in ways that break the stigma and isolation.
So we're not looking to convert folks. That's not what this is about.
Reverend Janice Ford, with the Church of the Reconciliation in Webster, held a recent workshop for Episcopal clergy and lay people.
When you provide spiritual care, you're trying to find where is God in their addiction? Where is God in their life? That's what lived spirituality means.
Lived spirituality, Ford says, could mean many things. Providing informational resources about addiction and treatment, or connecting congregants with others. Mostly, she says, it's letting people know that the church might be able to help.
We're supposed to take care of the less fortunate. It's our Christian mandate, really. And, you know, I shouldn't even say Christian mandate, because obviously there are a lot of non-Christians who feel the same type of spiritual mandate.
In Ford's work as a spiritual counselor at the Worcester County House of Correction, she learned that most of those incarcerated have substance use disorders. She also discovered that they didn't have much of a plan for after their release. So she decided to open a place for them to go.
We have, it's very workable kitchen. We have two refrigerators for the guys.
7 months ago, after raising about $40,000 to renovate a 130-year-old building on church property, Ford opened Reconciliation House. It's a sober house for six men who went through treatment at the Worcester Jail. The house is meticulous, with a common living room, kitchen, and dining room where there's a bulletin board explaining the rules about mandatory drug testing, chores, and the house curfew.
We also keep two doses of Narcan on hand
Right here, taped on the bulletin board.
Yeah, just in case, God forbid, we should need them.
Ford also helps the men get jobs and counseling, which has led some people to ask, what does a priest know about addiction?
Come to church on Sunday and you'll find out. addiction is everywhere. I mean, I don't care what church it is or what synagogue or what temple. What we need to know about addiction is that it is a disease and that, like any person with any disease, they need pastoral care.
As for the men living at Reconciliation House, they appear to be grateful.
This quite literally has been a godsend, I guess.
Steve, who didn't want his last name used because of the stigma of being addicted and incarcerated, has been living at Reconciliation House for 4 months. He met Reverend Ford during his latest stint in jail, a place he cycled through many times over the past several years.
Since about 2010, it's just been kind of a living hell of, that vicious cycle of, incarceration and just deprivation, misery.
Now, several months into recovery, Steve has a full-time job, and he says being in a faith-based community is working for him.
I think it's extremely helpful to be encouraged to enlarge, your spiritual experience, and that's been a big part of my recovery and my newfound stability in life.
God, grant me the serenity.
These people reciting the Serenity Prayer, which is said at most 12-step meetings, are participating in a group session as part of their substance use disorder treatment. In this session, they're talking about their drug use and their spirituality. Former Catholic priest Tom Thalen is the counselor leading the group.
A lot of people still think spirituality means I need to go to church, I need to pray, or whatever your religious belief is. Spirituality can incorporate religion, but it isn't the same as.
The vast majority, some estimates suggest more than 85% of substance use disorder treatment in the U.S. is based on the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Among other things, the steps ask adherents to believe that, quote, a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Some in this group appear skeptical. Some say they have found something greater than themselves, and it's helping. This man is among the latter. He didn't want his name used so as not to jeopardize his return to his job after this treatment.
Well, spirituality to me is, it's the part of me that's connected to the universe around me. Sitting on the creek, watching the water roll by, when I see a deer walk out, I'm connected to that. If you don't know who you are and where you stand in the world, you'll never find your way.
This group session called Spirituality, A Search for Self-Awareness, is held twice a week. Attendance is mandatory for everyone at Sunspire Health Spring Hill in Ashby, which provides about a month of residential treatment. In a loft area of a converted barn with windows overlooking a bucolic wooded area, about 15 people are sitting in chairs in a circle around Thalen. The group ranges in age from people in their early 20s to early 60s. One young man asks, what is a higher power or spirituality? And if it's so important to my recovery, why can't you even give me a definition?
It's spirit, it's breath, it's a way of living. Everybody has spirituality like everybody has health. Either you got poor health or good health. Good spirituality is we live a principled life. We live by a set of moral values.
A young woman chimes in. I know it's not a particular religious belief like Jesus or Buddha, she says, but I've tried to find what you're talking about. I've climbed mountains to say prayers, and I've lost everything, including my son, but I can't seem to even want to take care of myself. Then another young man says, because that's it. Come on. No one's going to take care of you more than yourself. You can't invent something to take care of you. Thalen says it's not about inventing, but about finding yourself.
Why is it we haven't taken care of ourselves? Because we've lost of who we are. We lost track of who we are. That's it. So we're on a journey that's led us to feel as though I'm all alone. Because addiction separates us from the things that really matter, family, friends, life.
These age-old questions are part of what seems like an age-old debate in addiction treatment. Does helping people find their higher power or purpose translate into success in long-term recovery? There's not a lot of solid evidence, but Jim DeRada, a family therapist at Spring Hill, says the answer is yes.
This stuff is all about relationships. if there's no ability or there's no connection anywhere, then you're alone again. And I don't know how many addicts that can be alone, feeling miserable or discontent before that little thing in their brain starts saying, you don't have to feel like this. Put two in the cooker. You know, pour yourself a nice tall one. You don't have to deal with this. And those are the messages that they combat all the time.
Treatment for opioid use disorders increasingly involves medications such as methadone or Suboxone to help with those messages. Dureta says medications can help, but in the short term. He believes addiction is a disease that affects the mind, body, and spirit, so he says all three need to be healed. Dureta is also a social work professor at Anna Maria College, and he published research about this topic last year. In it, he surveyed 50 Spring Hill patients. 80% of them said spirituality was an important part of their recovery.
People don't recover in isolation. They recover in community. If you haven't built a recovering community into your life, then I think the odds are pretty much that you're going to relapse. Because whatever got you to the place where you started to fill yourself up with drugs or alcohol, that stuff hasn't gone away.
But many people who work in and study substance use treatment don't accept that. They argue that AA has been around for 8 decades and there's little evidence about how well it works.
12-step programs don't really make a lot of sense.
Dr. Lance Dotis is a retired assistant psychiatry professor at Harvard. He says the now widespread belief that addiction is a disease means that medical attention, not spirituality, belongs in treatment.
What does spirituality or morality or a good feeling toward others have to do with addiction? Zero. Has nothing to do with addiction. Addiction isn't about that. Addiction is a psychological symptom to help you to get through feelings of being overwhelmed.
As more clergy step in to help with the opioid epidemic, they say thousands of people are in recovery because they were able to connect with something outside of themselves. The Treatment Research Institute, an organization that studies treatment around the world, says there is scant research on 12-step programs, largely because the participants try to remain anonymous. The Institute's chief executive officer, Adam Brooks, says what is clear is that treatment should be tailored to the patient.
We have to have treatment that meets people at every level of where they are, based on their level of readiness, they're based on their level of need for physical support for whatever withdrawal processes is that they're going through. So we just need to be more flexible, including the 12-step programs.
Brooks says there is no strong evidence showing that spirituality-based programs result in better outcomes than psychological counseling alone. And for opioid use disorders specifically, Brooks says medication combined with counseling appears to save the most lives. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Deborah Becker.